Well, we knew exactly how the mainstream media would play this one, right? No matter what, it was going to be devastatingly awful for Donald Trump. That's what they're saying. But how did it really play? How did it really play in Peoria? How did it really play in mainstream America? I have the answer to that. Plus, was it me? Or did Chris Wallace seem to be showing his true feelings a little more than a debate moderator ought to? Hello, everyone. I am Trish Regan, and you're listening to The Trish Regan Show. And wow, what a debate it was. You know, there had been talk about Joe Biden maybe not doing another. We'll see whether or not he's willing to come back for seconds after that. I doubt it. But nonetheless, the mainstream media somehow seeing this as a total victory. They see this as a total win for Joe Biden. But I've got news for them. It was anything but. And the reason it was anything but was that we heard nothing in the way of any meaningful substance from Joe Biden yet again. Just his accusations that this president doesn't have a plan. Well, you know what? This president had a pretty good plan. I'd say because we had the most successful economy with the lowest unemployment rate for minorities, for women, for Hispanics ever recorded. We were doing great. GDP was growing. Unemployment was low. We were looking at stock market high after stock market high until coronavirus hit. So again, we were doing well. That was because of the president's policies, lower taxes, less regulation. It's not that hard. And then coronavirus hit. And we had some self-inflicted economic wounds because we didn't know what the heck we were doing. We had governors all over the place that were shutting down vital, important parts of our economy and keeping other parts open that were exposing people, for example, in nursing homes and assisted living facilities in New York, thank you, Governor Cuomo, to coronavirus. And so instead of doing what was needed, which was to keep the good part of the economy going with the young people that were healthy enough to help us fight this thing head on, because I'll tell you, you need a strong economy in order to do it. What did we see? We saw them shut everything down. And it was a knee-jerk reaction that eventually became a very politicized reaction, something that the president brought up there last night, pointing out after state of Democratic state after Democratic state continues this whole shutdown process, which is extremely damaging to the people. One state apparently just saying it's going to open up on November 9th. Oh, gee, I wonder what is so magical about the week after election. Odd, right? Just given that you're going into the height of the flu season. But you know what? This is what they've done. And so we have inflicted all these wounds on our economy ourselves. And now we're just starting to come out of it. We're coming out of it again because we've got the right policy. You know, if you just let government get out of the darn way of the people know how to do what they know how to do. We know how to succeed. We know how to take care of ourselves. We know how to make money. We do that pretty well. But you know what? Joe Biden doesn't get it. He doesn't buy it. He wants us all to think we are completely helpless without him and his giant socialist party. And that's all we got. That's all we got last night from Joe Biden was more quasi-socialist talk. He doesn't want to admit it, but that is exactly who he is. He barely beat Bernie Sanders. And that was, as the president pointed out, only because Elizabeth Warren got out of the race last minute. She did him a giant favor. And he still didn't pick her as vice president. Imagine that. But you know what? He does not want to admit that is the wing of his party. He's trying to say, I'm here on my own. I'm sorry. Judging by his past 40 plus year record, he's anything but his own man. In fact, this is somebody who goes whatever way the wind blows, just like Kamala Harris. You know, at least Bernie Sanders had that going for him. At least you could trust that what you see is what you got. And you may not like it. I certainly didn't. But he was authentic in that way. This guy is just a politician. And so when you hear him talk, I'll tell you, Donald Trump did him a few favors along the way, coming in and effectively saving him. If it wasn't Trump saving him, it was Chris Wallace saving him. I've got more on that in just a moment. But in other words, he has a hard time for somebody who's in this profession and has been in this profession, speaking that is, as long as he has, he ought to be able to string a few more sentences together, but no. And when you hear him talk about hiking taxes on small businesses and big businesses alike, that troubles me. It really does, because it shows you he doesn't have a clue how to get this economy going. That's why for 8 years, we had anemic growth. You know what? It should have been great. We were coming out of a really horrible time. And they like to say, oh, well, because it was so bad, it couldn't be that good. Well, guess what? Comparatively, it should have been that much better. I mean, that's how you get the V, right? Because it was that bad. And then boom, you start to come out of it and it looks that good. And yet these guys, I can't say clowns. I mean, that is actually what he kept referring to the president as. But, you know, these guys that were there running the show, they couldn't put one foot in front of the other when it came to economic policy. And so what did you have? You had the Fed acting as the only game in town, and we had an anemic economy where we increasingly became more and more reliant on China. I mean, disaster city. And Joe Biden was vice president at the time. I've got more on that. Plus, my goodness, Chris Wallace. You know, granted, it's a hard job. I've been in that spot. I've moderated debates with many more players on stage than we had there last night. But nonetheless, it's tough. And one of your jobs is to really not show your feelings. I think Wallace had a little bit of a tough time with that. We're going to discuss it right after this. Like I said, was it me or was Chris Wallace getting a little annoyed there last night? I think that last night we saw a side of Chris Wallace that we might not have expected to see. And I'll tell you, just judging by the feedback from all of you on YouTube there last night, immediately following the debate, I was live on Twitter. I saw it on Facebook. It is very clear that you all believed Chris Wallace was effectively kind of rooting for Biden. Now, that's a problem as a moderator, again, because you're really not supposed to show your hand, so to speak, right? You're supposed to keep the cards close to the vest. You're professional. And look, I'm sympathetic to what he was going through. That is not easy. Listen, I mean, when you got two people yelling at each other like that, and you're trying to be the adult in the room and trying to, you know, guide the conversation, et cetera, it's a very, very hard spot. But in more times than it should have happened, we saw Chris Wallace jump in effectively to try and save Joe Biden. And that felt uncomfortable. Now, granted, there could have been moments when Donald Trump had run out of time, right? And so it was Chris Wallace's job to jump in and say, okay, no, the time goes to Biden. But sometimes you also need to make sort of a decision on the fly where if you have a moment, you let it go, you let it run a little bit because you want both sides to have a chance to speak. And then you return the time to the other candidate next time around. So there was a little bit of sort of a school teacher thing going on, right? Where he was like, nope, you can't talk. And then he seemed to increasingly get a little bit annoyed. And he kind of stuck it to Trump on a couple of occasions. Now, the president was right to say, wait a second, what's going on here? Am I debating you or am I debating Joe Biden? Because at times it really did feel like two against one, and it should not have ever felt that way. Chris Wallace is a very qualified professional, so I'm surprised. I'm surprised that we saw that. Clearly, the stress must have been getting to him. And again, I think you all picked up on it. You all commented on it last night. And so the onus is on him. I mean, that was his fault that he was not able to sort of distance himself a little bit more. And I will just say, I know how challenging it is, but you know what? That's why you get paid the big bucks. Right, Chris Wallace? That is why you've got the job you have, and we expect a little bit more. Joe Biden went into one question that really did not get answered, and this again falls back on the moderator, where he should have pushed this. He got this question on the courts and whether or not he would pack the courts, and this was a question that was so important and needs to be answered, and yet he refused to answer the question. I mean, I said this going into the debate. I said the one thing he's got to answer, well, a few things he's got to answer. He had to answer for his son, another one that he didn't really answer. He needed to give more substance on the economic front. Again, something he punted on. We got no real answers, let's face it, from Joe Biden last night. But this was a biggie. You know, he had the opportunity to tell the world he had no intention of ever packing the courts. You know, that's just a big myth that's being floated out there in the atmosphere. But no, he didn't do that. He refused to answer the question on packing the courts. His thinking, so to speak, on this is that, oh, well, you know, the question really distracts everyone from the real issue, which is that, You know, we're running the risk of losing the Affordable Care Act. By the way, little footnote for you, Joe, nobody likes Obamacare. So when the president talks about replacing it with something better, I think people are pretty receptive to that. So I wouldn't go out there with, you know, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare as your lead there as to why we shouldn't appoint someone to the court. Anyway, that's what this is coming down to. He does not want the president to have the power to put Amy Coney Barrett into the seat on the Supreme Court just months before the election. He somehow thinks that the president's supposed to just back off of his duty. And the president rightly said, look, this is my job. I was voted into office. You want to tell all those people that voted me in that their vote doesn't count because we're close to an election? No, no, no. He was voted in for 4 years. It doesn't mean it ends at three. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for that matter, didn't want that either. So look, Joe Biden had an opportunity to tell the world he didn't intend to pack the courts. And you know what? He completely punted on it. I guess that means he has every intention of doing that. And I'll tell you, it would ruin everything. It would ruin our country, the United States of America, as we know it. You know, if we don't have an adult in the room by way of the Supreme Court, then it really is game over. It really is. And this is exactly what they're threatening. I mean, Ed Markey, the senator from Massachusetts, saying, guess what? If we don't get our way, if you guys actually put someone on the court like you're supposed to do, like it is your duty to do, like the voters expect you to do, well, then guess what? We are going to pack the courts. I mean, if they get the Oval Office, if they keep the House, if they get the Senate, that they would have the votes. They would be able to do this. That's what we are up against. And Joe Biden refusing to rule it out, it tells you exactly how political these people are, what political animals they are. Because if you get a packed court, you know what? We're going to have a Supreme Court that's no better than the House of Representatives. And it's going to be political and it's going to be miserable. And we're going to be no better than some two-bit emerging market country. Mark my words, we cannot allow that to happen. Meanwhile, an explosive story out right now about Hillary Clinton apparently knowing that this whole Russia thing was just a fake story, but she was out there promoting it all in an effort to gin up controversy about Donald Trump in order to help her. You know, we knew this, right? Because this was intel that was bought and paid for by her campaign and then handed to the FBI. Well, it turns out John Brennan knew it too, and he actually briefed Barack Obama about it, saying that maybe, you know, she's getting a little over her skis here. Well, this has now come out. Intel documents released by John Radcliffe, people saying, well, they're not confirmed, etc. I'm not sure how they're not confirmed, given that it was her intel that she bought and paid for. Right? I mean, she's the one that hired Christopher Steele, who hired the guy that our own FBI was concerned about because they thought he was a Russian spy. Oh, my goodness. You just can't make it up. I mean, really and truly, we are heading straight for Banana Republic territory between the courts, between the ballots, between Hillary Clinton and her Russia stuff. We're on it next. Rumblings today about Hillary Clinton and whether or not she was deliberately trying to stir up a scandal against then U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump by deliberately tying him to Putin and the Russians. Allegations today that Hillary Clinton may have been deliberately trying to gin up this whole story because she was trying to help herself. And so she wanted to keep pointing to the Russians, you know, fabricating a little bit of this, a little bit of that, put that out into the community, all for her own political benefit. Now, this has just come out and none of it has been proven. It's just information that was released by the intelligence community. There's a lot of criticism surrounding it because they're saying, wait a second, this is like 34 days before an election and you're coming out with this. And it's happening in part because, well, there are some concerns right now about Hillary Clinton. Consider what she just said the other day. Well, late August, actually, to be fair, she said Joe Biden should not concede no matter what. Direct quote in an interview with her former communications head on Showtime's The Circus. I mean, this is sort of crazy talk, but then again, consider who it's coming from. So apparently the former CIA director, John Brennan, briefed former President Barack Obama on this whole Russian assessment, which included the allegation that Hillary Clinton approved the plan to tie Trump to the hack of the DNC after it was proposed by one of her foreign policy advisors. Wow. I mean, think about that. If that's the case, then indeed we have a problem here, right? We have a problem because do not forget all of this baseless information, all of this fiction about Russia. It was coming from her team anyway. I mean, my goodness, he was not a Manchurian candidate. He was not being manipulated like a puppet, as they alleged. Russia was not stealing the election. Russia was not breaking into Diebold voting machines and stealing votes. But the way Hillary Clinton talked, the way Joe Biden speaks, Nancy Pelosi, Ilhan Omar, the way all of them talk, Rashida Tlaib, you know, my goodness, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the rest of them, they keep going on about how he stole the election. Not my president, they say. You know, this is not appropriate talk. And considering now what we've just learned about Barack Obama being briefed on this and Hillary Clinton having approved all this, this is truly troubling. But you know what? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, because we know this intel, this dossier from Christopher Steele, the ex-British spy that used to have a bunch of KGB sources, it was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton's team. Right? They're the ones that commissioned it. They're the ones that, or at least paid for it. So they had this intel in their hands. Now, the FBI should have known better, because it turns out the guy that Christopher Steele hired to do all the legwork, he was a guy that they actually suspected of being a Russian spy. So you'd think that would disqualify it, right, in the first place. You'd think they might have mentioned that to the FISA court judge. You'd think they might have mentioned that they hadn't bothered checking anything to the FISA court judge. You'd think they might mention that it was opposition research from a candidate from Hillary Clinton's team. You'd think all this would come up, but no. Because they had an agenda. And the concern now is that it's quite possible Durham will not have any real news before the election. And if that's the case, if Joe Biden is elected, we run the risk that none of this real information ever comes out, that the truth never really emerges. And wouldn't that be a shame? Okay, coming up, everyone. What'd you think? I mean, was Joe Biden likable at all? I don't think so. And I didn't appreciate the whole shut up thing. More on that next. Did he really say shut up, man? I mean, really? He did. I'll tell you, Joe Biden not scoring any points in the likability category last night. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. You're listening to The Trish Regan Show. It's good to have you here. Please go to Trish Regan, trishintel.com, where you can get more on The Trish Regan Show right there, along with all my op-eds and all the stories that we are watching right now. Truth matters. Truth really, really matters. And we need to think about protecting our freedoms. This is what I care about. This is what I'm devoted to. But I was watching that debate thinking, gee, he just doesn't seem like that nice a guy. He really doesn't. I mean, listen, you know, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more humor. I will say that from Donald Trump, because I think he has a tremendous sense of humor. He can be just wonderfully self-deprecating. And you know, he was a little revved up in a way that I think is natural, because Joe Biden really came across as a bit mean, right? The whole shut up, man. I mean, and calling him a clown and saying you're the worst president ever. I mean, it just was starting to get very, very vicious. It was like you were on this like playground, right, in the schoolyard, and they were swinging at each other. And Joe Biden just did not come off well. And I'll tell you, likability matters. I mean, this was the problem with Hillary Clinton, right? People just didn't really like her. They didn't really trust her. I think they run into this issue with Kamala Harris. It's one of the reasons why you never see her, right? They're trying to sort of keep her under wraps, because I think if she's out there a little too much, people say, gosh, you know, I don't really like her. Let's face it. She should have done much better in the primary. She didn't, because she didn't resonate. People didn't like her. She wasn't warm enough, right? And don't forget, this is the same woman that went after Joe Biden pretty hard. But all in all, I mean, I walked away from that really not feeling any different about either candidate, except that I realized Joe Biden kind of has a nasty side to him. And, you know, the whole shut up thing was really unnecessary and uncalled for. And it created a very unpleasant environment. He did not act presidential. Anyway, we're going to have much more on the site. I'm going to have much more on YouTube tonight. Do check out the YouTube show. Check me out on Facebook. I'm there as well. And we've got a lot to discuss. So make sure you tune in to TrishIntel.com and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.